Okay, so we're in the middle of a very beautiful sugya on Daf Chof, Dalad, Omed, Beis. We saw a Mishnah and a very, very important Tosfos. Let's just briefly recap. There are four cases in the Mishnah of Psuli Eides, Masachik, Pekuvia, Malve Beribis, Mafriche Yoinim, and Haseichri Beshvius, all of which we will discuss in great detail in the Gemara. And Tosfos proved that all of them are Derabonim. Why? The bottom line is very simple. The Torah only passed somebody who is a Rasha specifically for being over the Avera of Gezel. All of these are maybe, as Rashi put them, Me'ein Gezela. They are similar to, but they're not out and out Gezel. Why was Tosas keen to point out that these Psulim are only Derabonon? At the end of the day, they're apostles. So what difference does it make whether they're Apostle min ha-Torah or Apostle min ha-Rabbanon? And the answer is because there was a discussion whether Avodim should appear on this list as well. Avodim, Apostle, we discussed maybe because they're Ganovim, but Rashi said, Tosfos said a different reason. Avodim cannot be better than Noshim. If Noshim, Apostle, Kol Shekein, Avodim, and Tosfos never disagreed with that. We must point this out. Let's not make a mistake. There is no discussion. Obviously, Avodim, Apostle for Eidos. That was never the discussion. The discussion was only, should they appear on this list or not? Yesh Oimrim. Tosfos brought opinion that there are those who say that it should appear on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah comprises of Psulim, both Derabonon and also Doiraisa, and that Tosfos disagreed with. Tosfos proved at great length, we're not going to go through it now again, that all the cases in the Mishnah are only Psulim Derabonon, and therefore Avodim, albeit absolutely the apostle from Eidos, but they do not feature on this list. So with that, let's immediately begin the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mesachik Bekuvia Mai Ka'ovid. What exactly is the problem of Mesachik Bekuvia? Mesachik Bekuvia, throwing a dice, some type of gambling or casino, betting. So whoever wins gets $100, gets $500. Where exactly is the problem over here? Now, even if, this is very important to point out, even if we take Tosfos into account that we're only dealing with Psulim Derabonon and not Psulim Min HaTorah, but nonetheless, it's got to have some reason to Pasul Min Derabonon as well. In other words, Mesachik Bekuvia, nobody would ever claim that Mesachik Bekuvia is out and out Gezel. It's not Gezel. May not be a very delicate Torah style way of living, but there's no Gezel involved. So they're definitely not Postel Min HaTorah, but why are they even Postel Midrabono? Answers the Gemara, Oma Romi Bachoma. Now this is a very important Yesod. Mishum Dehava Asmachta, comma, va Asmachta Loi Kanya. And Asmachta cannot be Kaina. What does that mean, Asmachta? So like I said the other day, for want of a better translation, it's not a good translation at all, but some translate Asmachta as an exaggeration. I'm curious, Rabbi Yosef, how does Rabbi Arts... They don't translate Asmachta?
No, just written Asmachta.
Asmachta, okay, because there is no translation.
So oh, they explain it down underneath a little bit.
Yes, the long explanation. Based on the Rashi, I think.
But there's no real translation of the word Asmachta. I remember when we were in Yeshiva, we were learning the sugyas of Asmachta, they used to translate it as exaggeration, but that's definitely not the translation. Have a look at Rashi. Let's try and come up with a definition ourselves. Says Rashi. Asmachta, says Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara, Hainu, that is, Dovor de'enoi noisen loi midaite. I'm not giving of my own free consent and wishes. I'm not being forced, but it's not something that I just decided. I didn't wake up one day and said, hey, here's a birthday present. Elo, soimeich, Aldovar She'enoi. He's relying on something that hasn't yet happened. The Savor, because he holds, he maintains, he thinks, Shehu Yochel Lanatzeach, that he can win. Unfortunately, Upa'omim Shemenatzchin Oisoi, and sometimes they are victorious over him. So, in a classic case of gambling, nobody is stealing. As Rashi says in the very next Rashi, Loi Kanya Vahavale Ke'en. Underline the word Ke'en once again. It's Ke'en Gezeila Beyadoi. Obviously, it's not real stealing. Nobody puts their hand in your pocket to take things away. It's a type of stealing. Why is it a type? But it's not a real stealing. Because if I say to you, okay, Reb Larry, your 41st birthday today, here, I want to give you $100. There's no reason to think that I didn't mean it. I didn't make it contingent on anything. I just said, here, I want to give you a gift. Fine, so therefore I have to give you a gift. But in the case of gambling, when I said to you, I will give you $100, but I made it contingent on what will happen during our game. Now, even though when we play this game of Masachet Bekuvia, I may well be victorious, in which case I won't have to give you any money at all. To the contrary, you might have to give me money. But I do, however, know that sometimes I'm not victorious, and sometimes the other guy will win. So I'm not paying out money having declared that this is what I want to do. When I say I want to give you a birthday present, well, that's what I want to do. I've got no reason in the world to think that he doesn't really mean it. But when I say I'm going to play the dice and I'm going to give you $100, secretly I'm really thinking that I jolly well hope that I never have to pay you a penny, that I'm victorious. It's just that I happen to know that the facts on the ground are that I might not be victorious. So that's what we call asmachta. So I think you'll understand that the word, or the translation, exaggeration, is not really accurate at all. It doesn't capture it at all. Asmachta is really whenever money is being promised, but we have good reason to think that he may not mean it absolutely. Again, when I offer you a birthday present, I've got no reason to think that he doesn't mean it seriously. But when I offer you $100, if the dice lands out on one or two or four or whatever it is, I am doubting his true intentions, because he's actually hoping that he will be victorious and won't have to pay anything. There is a machloikus. What is the halacha now of asmachta? What is the halacha of asmachta? So imagine I say to you, okay, Reb Moshe Zelig, if you manage to do 100 handstands now, I'll give you $1,000. And guess what? You did 100 handstands. Do I have to pay you the $1,000? So that is the parasha of asmachta. That's the parasha of asmachta. Because there may well be a logic to say that, no, because I was actually thinking that maybe you're not going to take me up on the challenge. So it's not like I said to you, yes, I'm going to give you $100 because it's your birthday today. Rather, I said, if you do some crazy thing, I'll give you $1,000. So maybe I didn't really mean it seriously. In the end, you did it. So the Gemara is saying, asmachta loy kanya. It's a machloikas, but the Gemara is going with a shitta that asmachta loy kanya. Asmachta loy kanya. So if asmachta loy kanya, which means that what? You took up my challenge and you did the 1,000 handstands, so I'm actually not mukhuyev to pay you the $1,000. Why? Because I didn't seriously commit myself to the money. It's not like, for example, when I get an aliyah in shul, and the gabbai says to me, fine, you got an aliyah, would you like to make a mishiberach? Yes. How much are you committing yourself to? $1,000. So there, I've got no grounds to say that I didn't mean it seriously. Why? You got the aliyah, this is what you committed yourself to. But where I committed myself to a payment where I was secretly hoping that I wouldn't have to pay in the end, like Rashi says, because although sometimes I'm victorious, but I know sometimes I'm not. So there's room to say he didn't mean it seriously. Yeah, he said $1,000. Of course, he was hoping that actually he would win the game and he wouldn't have to pay up anything. So this particular opinion holds asmachta loy kanya, which means, therefore, that when people play this game of the kuvio and they commit themselves to various payments, they are actually not obligated to pay the other party. Loy kanya. Even if they roll the dice, guess what? They lost the game. You've got to pay the $1,000. According to this opinion, I actually do not have to pay the $1,000. Asmachta loy kanya. And if you nonetheless demand that I pay you the $1,000, that's what Rashi means. It's ke'en gzela. Why is it only ke'en gzela? Of course, it's not real gzela. You didn't put a gun to my head and say, give me the $1,000. Of course, at the end of the day, I did give up out of my own free will. I gave the $1,000 to you. But the fact that you obligated me to do so is a type of gzela. And that's why, says the Gemara, people who are involved in this type of activity, apostle leedus midrabono, because ultimately they are involving themselves in activities which are comparable, if not equatable, but they are comparable together.
Says Rabbi, could you just explain that? I'm sorry, I just couldn't. Could you just explain? I apologize. Explain that one more time. Why yes. It's comparable to gzela? I apologize.
If I say to you, here, I'm a good friend of yours. I have a lot of appreciation for you. I know it's your birthday. I'm going to give you $1,000. That is a commitment and you have to pay. When you now knock on my door, you come to Bet Shemesh and you say, Jalovsky, you promised me the $1,000. Where is it? Yes, I'm absolutely obligated to pay. Why? Because my commitment was 100% serious commitment. That's nothing to do with Gezel, not Deraisa, not Derabono, nothing at all. But when I say to you, Larry, let's throw a dice. And if it comes out between 1 and 3, I'll give you $1,000. And if it comes out between 4 and 6, you're going to give me $1,000. And guess what? It came out number 1. So you knock on my door and you say, okay, well, you committed yourself. You said, if it comes out between 1 and 3, you're going to give me $1,000. Where's the money? This is where Rami Bar Choma is saying, I'm actually not obligated to pay. It's not like the case of the birthday. Why? Because when I said I'm going to give you the money in the event that, I was secretly actually hoping that it wouldn't materialize in the end. It wasn't really a serious commitment. Even though sometimes, obviously, I know I might lose the game, but I was hoping I would win. So I wasn't really seriously committing. So therefore, I'm actually not obligated, asmachta loy kanya. You're not koina. The money is not rightfully yours. Now, if I nonetheless give you the money anyway, so obviously you haven't stolen anything, but it's a type of gzela. You've obligated me to pay money which actually you did not own, you did not acquire, and was not yours by rights.
So therefore,
the real gezel.
Okay, so this is my problem. The gzela is by the one who did not come up with the idea. This guy comes up with the idea. He says, let's gamble. If I win, I'll pay you money. So he's the gambler. And he's not puzzled. The other guy who says, who obligates the asmachta, he didn't initiate the gamble. And him, you're going to make puzzled.
It doesn't matter. It takes two to tango. Anybody.
Why should the other guy be? My point is then, why should the first guy be puzzled? I wasn't getting gzela. The other guy's the one came, Gazela.
Both parties agreed that we're going into a gamble, a 50-50 situation. We may win, we may lose. That means you're involving yourself in activity which is tantamount to Gzela, albeit not proper Gzela.
I'm tantamount where I'm allowing this guy to steal from me, therefore I'm obligated?
No, because I might have to steal from him. A 50-50. Either I'm going to win, so I'm going to take it from him, or he's going to win, so you're taking.
No, but I'm the one who had the asmachta. I'm the one who gave the whole thing.
It takes two to tango. We both agree to gamble, and we both agree these are the deals. If I win, I get the money. If you get the money. The very fact that we're involved in activity like this means we are involved in activity where we are going to obligate our friends to pay up money where essentially they're not chayev.
So you're saying is, you approach me, we make this deal, and I agree. Yeah, that sounds good. But you're saying the asmachta on my end is my intention was if I win, if I lose, I'm probably not going to pay him.
Both parties were thinking that, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now I get it.
Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes Omar, no. Very important, as we're always medayek, it doesn't say Omar Rav Sheshes, which would mean he's saying something new. It says Rav Sheshes Omar. Kol ki hai gavna lav asmachta hi. Any case like this, gavna is a case. Kol ki hai gavna, any case like this, lav asmachta. I'm sorry to say, Rav Sheshes, I disagree with you. Although you may well be right in principle, that asmachta lo ikanya, but this type of case is not an asmachta. Well, why not? And what is an asmachta? So before we continue the Gemara, let's first see Rashi, very important Rashi. A lengthy Rashi. Says Rashi, kol ki ay gavna lav asmachtehi. Says Rashi, this is not a case of asmachta. Rav Sheshes is arguing with Rami Bar Choma, and he's saying, v'heicha domi asmachta. What indeed would be considered an asmachta? A completely different case. This case of Mesachek Bekuvia is not considered to be an asmachta. Rather, an asmachta is a completely different case. What is it? Kagoin, for example. Now he quotes two Gemaras. Quote, unquote. De im oivir veloy aavid ashalem b'mitva. Quote, unquote. The case of the Gemara there, it's a case of Gemara Bob Messiah that I involve, is talking about where you have a worker who obviously has a work set up with a boss, working in the field, and he says, De im oivir, if I leave the field fallow, meaning if I don't work, veloy avid, I'm not going to be involved in the work at all, ashalim b'mitva, I will pay you the best produce. Is that an asmachta or not an asmachta? Again, the employee has said to the employer that if I leave the field fallow and don't work it, I'm going to give you $1,000. Says Rashi, in the opinion of Rav Sheshes, that is an asmachta. Soon we'll explain why. Why is that case different to ours? Rashi gives another example. Ukagoin, or for example, another case, this is not in Bava Metzia, this is Bava Basra. Mashlish es shtori. The get poshut and the parrot of get poshut. Mashlish es shtori is when you deposit the shtar with a third party. Maybe we'll come back to it, but we want to concentrate mainly on the first case for the moment. De soimech al loy davar. There he is totally relying on loy davar. What does loy davar mean? On nothing. Zero basis for his commitment. Why? Now here comes the critical distinction. Look carefully at Rashi. The sovar, because he thinks, kol ze beyodi la'asois. It's beyodi. What does beyodi mean? It's in my hands. It's in my control. Umeresha, and from the beginning, ki masni, when I made this tanai with you, when I made this stipulation with you, Adaita, it was within mind, the law yohivle, that I'm not going to give you the money at all because it's within my control to determine the outcome. If I say to you, listen, if I don't come to the office today, if I don't work in the field, I'm going to give you $1 million. That's an asmachta. There, he clearly does not mean it seriously. Why? Because it's in my control to determine the outcome, because I can jolly well come to work. I'm not gambling. I'm not relying on circumstances beyond my control. I'm saying, listen, I've committed to work, and if I don't work in the field, I'm going to give you $1 million. Says Rav Sheshes, that's an asmachta. There, he clearly didn't mean it. Why? Because he was jolly well planning on working in the field. Says Rashi, Umei Reisha, therefore, from the beginning, Ki Masni, when he made this condition, Adaita, what was his das? Deloi Yohivle. I'm not going to give it. La Asmachta, Komasni. I'm only stipulating as an Asmachta, it's just a joke. The Toya, because he made a very unfortunate mistake, the Savor, and he thought that Loi Yovoi Lidekach. He thought it would never come to this. So he told the boss, listen, if I don't work in the field today, I'm going to give you $1,000. Did he mean that? No, he didn't mean it, because he was jolly well planning on coming to work. Unfortunately, he made a terrible mistake. Guess what? He wasn't feeling well that day, and he didn't come. Ah, you said that if you don't come, you're going to give me $1,000. Well, to be honest, I didn't really mean it. What do you mean we didn't mean it? So why did you say it? Because I thought it would never, ever, ever, ever happen, because it's within my control to actually come to the field and work. Ah, it didn't work out that way. I definitely didn't mean it. Says Rav Sheshes, that's a case of asmachta. And there you would be right that asmachta loy kanya, when the boss knocks on the employee's door and says, well, let's have the $1,000 then. Didn't you commit yourself? You said if you didn't turn up to work, you're going to give $1,000. Sorry, I didn't mean it. Really? Prove to me you didn't mean it. Well, it's obvious I didn't mean it, because under ordinary circumstances, it was within my control. And I was planning on showing up to work 9 o'clock in the morning, not ever having to pay you. Says Rashi, Avol Hocha. But over here, Loi Somich Amidi. Here he's got nothing to rely on. When I throw this dice, I cannot genuinely say to you, well, to be perfectly honest, I knew it would come out numbers 1, 2, or 3. You have no idea what will happen. Deho lo yoda, because he doesn't know, says Rashi. I notzach, I loy notzach. You don't know whether you're going to win or not. Va'afilu hachi asni. And nonetheless, I made the condition. So you've got no right to say, yes, yes, yes. Well, to be perfectly honest, I was planning on it coming X, Y, Z. What do you mean you're planning? It's beyond your control. Shma mino. Therefore, it must be that misfeka asni. You made this condition knowing full well it's a sofik. Gomar va'akni. What does it mean, gomar va'akni? You had absolute gemar das, full das, and you were jolly well makne the money. V'loi gzeilahi, that's not called gezel. So this is a very, 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 very important Rashi. Rav Sheshes says to Romi Bachoma, I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you on the one hand that asmachta loi kanya, that's true. But I disagree with you regarding what is the definition, what is the case of asmachta. You maintain that throwing a dice is an asmachta. I might win, I might not win. Well, to be perfectly honest, I was hoping that I would win. I never dreamt in a million years I'm going to have to pay you money. I wasn't being serious. Says Rav Sheshes, what do you mean you weren't being serious? You jolly well know when you throw a dice, it's a 50-50 risk. And it's circumstances beyond your control, and you nonetheless committed to pay. Yes, you were hoping the outcome were different, but you can't say you were planning. In the case of when I said that if I don't come to the field today, I'm going to work. If I don't come to work, I'm going to give you $1 million. there, I was planning on coming to work. So I genuinely had no intention of ever paying you one single penny. Why not? Because I was planning on coming to work. And I had no sad ba'olam of not turning up to work. Unfortunately, he made a mistake. In the end, for whatever reason, he didn't come to work. Beseda. So there's the case. You can genuinely say, well, he wasn't really, he didn't mean it as a genuine commitment, because he was planning on organizing events such that he wouldn't have to pay. But you cannot say that with throwing a dice. There's nothing to organize. You throw a dice and it's throwing caution to the wind. You jolly well know, 50-50, you may win, you may not. So why did you make the commitment if you didn't have any way of controlling the destiny? You had no idea what would happen in the end. And nonetheless, you committed yourself. That's a proper commitment. Therefore, that would not be considered asmachta. So even though you're right, that asmachta loy kanya, but that's only what I was planning on not paying. In our case, maybe I was hoping, but you can't say I was planning. I jolly well made a commitment knowing I might gain, I might lose, and there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah.
So therefore, in the gambling case, it's not a hasmachta, it's not gezela, correct?
Right.
But in the other case, is it gezela?
Ke'en gezela. Hasmachta at worst is always a ke'en gezela.
I say to you, you work for me. Well, I work for you, and I say to you, I'm so sure I'm going to come to the field tomorrow. If I don't come, I'm giving you $1,000.
That's like Kanye.
All of a sudden, I wake up in the morning, I've got COVID.
Right.
And sure enough, I can't come. Now you come to me, hey, where's my $1,000?
You do not need to pay.
Right. So now you come to me and you say, where's my $1,000? And I say, come on, it's an asmachta. I know I was going to get COVID. I would never have agreed to pay this money if I thought I wasn't going to come. The whole reason I put the money up is because I knew I was coming.
Right.
So therefore, I don't have to pay you. Stop right there. Where does this become gzela then?
It's not gzela. If every case of asmachta, because you're not koina, if the boss says to the employee, okay, but you've got to pay me anyway. And I say, but I don't have to pay, because I didn't really commit myself. But you know what? All right, fine, I'll pay you. That means even though I'm giving you the money of my own volition, you're not putting a gun to my head, but essentially I'm giving money which I did not have to pay by rights. That is a type of gezeila. It's not real.
Or if the boss says, listen, here's the deal. You made a commitment to pay me the $1,000. If you don't pay me the $1,000, you're fired. So you threaten the guy. That's gezeila. That's gezeila.
In other words, I'm enforcing you to pay money, which by rights you do not have to pay.
Or if he says, if you don't pay me, I'm going to tell everybody what you did.
I'm going to take
you to business. Zayla. Gotcha. Okay.
So now, if that's the case, Rav Sheshes now has some work on his hands. Because if Rav Sheshes says that Masachik Bekuvia is not a case of Asmachta, and it's nothing to do with gzela, because when you throw a dice, it's an absolute commitment. Nobody is trying to force me to pay money that I don't really have to pay by rights. I do have to pay by rights. Well, if that's the case, then you have to explain to me, so why is Masachik Bekuvia Posel Eidus? According to Rami Bar Chama, it's very good. Asmachta lo ikanya, if that's the case, it's a type of gzela, albeit not real gzela. But Rav Sheshes disagreed. Rav Sheshes says it's nothing to do with gezel. So why is Masachik Bekuvia Posel Eidus? Says the Gemara, Hello, Lafi She'ein Asukin B'Yeshuvoi Shel Oilom. What does that mean? Ein on Asukin B'Yeshuvoi Shel Oilom. This we discussed yesterday. You have somebody who's earning his money in not regular, normal ways. Therefore, we're not accusing him of doing an aveira as such. That's not the point. Or even something which is vaguely comparable to an aveira. No, that's also not the point. But because you are not sitting in a regular office, cutting out deals, bargaining, buying, selling, trading, you don't really know the comings and goings of monetary affairs. Therefore, you cannot be an aide or a dayan on monetary affairs because you clearly have no understanding in these types of issues because you involve yourself in other types of activities. So it turns out, therefore, according to Romi Bachoma, it's a type of gezel. According to Rav Sheish, has nothing to do with the gzela. But you're a type of guy, you've got no idea about the regular way that money is traded. This is just, you know, literally gambling. That's what it is. Therefore, you're disqualified from being an aid or a dayan. What would be the difference between the two opinions? That's what the Gemara asks. Mai beinayu. What would be a practical difference between the two positions? Says the Gemara. Ike beinayu. De gomar umnusa achriti. Does he also have another occupation? If the way he earns his money is only through gambling, so clearly he has no idea in the regular comings and goings of monetary situation, therefore he cannot be an aide or a dai, he just doesn't understand these types of events. But if he's an honest worker, and during the day he's got an honest trade, and as a side hobby, he also gambles. So if you hold that the problem with gambling is the Aveira Shabai, or at least the type of Aveira, well, it's not going to help you, the fact that you have another occupation at the site. But according to the second opinion of Sheshes, it will help you. Because the only reason why you are disqualified from being Masachet B'Kuvi is because you have no understanding in monetary matters. Well, this guy does have an understanding because he's got an alternative occupation. So that'd be a case where there'll be a machloikas lahalocha, whether you'd be posel eidos or not.
Rabbi, why is Rami Bar Chama's taina that Masachik Bekuvia is gzela? How is he explaining that?
Who? What do you mean?
Rami Bar Chama.
Rami Bar Chama maintains that this is a case of asmachta and asmachta loikanya. Therefore, it's a type of gezel.
So his side of the machlokas is it is a hasmachta. He won't give in on that. He's right. Like, no, this is
right.
So how could there be such a differentiation? Is there? Why would he? How does he answer Rav Sheshes then?
No, the machlokas, according to Rav Bachoma, even though we're talking about circumstances beyond my control, but the very fact that I was hoping, albeit nothing to do with my control, but I was hoping that the dice would fall out in my direction if I didn't seriously commit to pay in the event that I lose. Rav Sheshes says, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. What do you mean you didn't seriously commit? You knew jolly well it could go either way. Asmachta is only in a case where the circumstances are within your control. That's the machlokes. So if a big machlokes, what is the case of asmachta? Either way, and this is now, let's bring this to a full circle. Even according to Rami Bachoma, who learns that the Mishnah is dealing with Asmachta, we nonetheless understand Tosfos that it's not a psul deiraisa. Nobody is accusing him of out and out gezel. It may be comparable to gezel, but nobody is going in the dead of night and stealing money from somebody else's wallet. That's not the case. So either way, whether you learn that Masachet B'Kuvia is a problem because of Asmachta, or whether you learn it's because of Yishuv HaOlam, it definitely is only a psul derabbanan. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue next time.